Jai Jai Sri Radhe. So we went today to the Vyoma's cave, and some devotees almost fell off the mountain. But this cave, what happens is that one day, Krishna Balaram and all the coward boys were playing together on top of this mountain. And they played a game of cops and robbers. So some boys played the part of the policemen, and some played the part of the thieves. And some coward boys played the part of sheep. You know, sheep. So the thieves were stealing the sheep and taking them away, and the robbers were trying to catch them. So this demon, Vyomasura, he was the son of Maya Danava. So he had so many mystic powers to change his form and become a huge demon flying in the sky demon. So the demon disguised himself as a coward boy, which made it very convenient. Then he stole the other coward boys. He played the part of a thief, like other coward boys who were taking that part. Then he stole the coward boys who were playing the parts of sheep. And he took them one by one and put them in a cave. And when he filled up the cave with coward boys, then he took one big rock and he blocked the entrance. When one listens to pastimes or reads pastimes, he should try to visualize, deeply see and visualize the scene and feel the scene. In other words, it's not a hunger upasana where we think that we're Krishna or we think that we're coward boys or we think that we're gopis. It's not like this. But in this pastime, for example, we will think, how would I feel if I was locked in a cave with some of my friends, and as every minute passes by, there's less and less oxygen in the cave, and pretty soon I start suffocating. Oh, I can't breathe. Oh, I can't breathe either. Oh, it's all dark in here. It's all dark, and no one can hear us. We're yelling, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You can imagine if you're stuck in a cave and you're yelling, who can hear you? No one can hear you. You're inside a cave. It's fantastic installation. And they're yelling, help, help. And one other coward boy says, oh, he can't hear us. It's useless. We have no, Krishna can't help us. He doesn't even know our plight. So then if you think of, and you actually enter into the mood of what's happening, then you become very distressed. Your heart starts to soften and go in different directions. And then you can understand how intense this particular pastime is. So after some time, Krishna was looking around, because Krishna was playing the part of a policeman. And he's looking around and saying, oh, someone has stolen so many sheep. So many of my coward boys, where have my suckers gone? Where are they gone? So many of them have gone. And then he can understand, oh, there's some demon. This demon is disguised as a coward boy. He's stolen systematically, one by one, all the coward boys and stuffed them in a cave. So then immediately Krishna attacked him. So this demon, because he's the son of Maya Danava, and he knows all these mystic tricks, then he took Krishna and he became this huge, like, tornado or cyclone, and he went up in the sky with Krishna. He was whirling all around, taking Krishna here and there, and whirling around and going up. So it was like some kind of roller coaster, you know, in the fun park, you know, you go like this and around like this and like this. So Krishna was getting a wonderful ride flying in the sky with this vyom. So whenever Krishna kills demons, he's always smiling. If you read the Bhagavatam, he's facing some demon and he smiles. He just smiles and kills him. It's all effortless. It's lila. Lila means play. So it's all, although it's very dangerous and a very ferocious demon, but for Krishna it's just play. This demon Vyoma has a very interesting previous life. In his previous life, now listen very carefully. In his previous life, he was a king. He was a Vaishnav king, a devotee of Vishnu. His name was King Bhimarata. He was very charitable, devotee of Vishnu. He was very respectful to everyone, and he was an expert bowman. After some time, he left his kingdom to his son, and he went to the mountains to do austerities. But when he was in the mountains, he was living in some small ashram. The one great sage came to visit him. This was sage Palastya Rishi, very, very powerful Rishi. And the king, this Vaishnav king, Bhimarata, he was very proud. Although we hear that he was generally respectful to everyone, but actually he was proud. So when the sage came to his ashram, he didn't stand up to respect him. He didn't stand up to show any regard or honor for that sage. So then Palastya, he cursed him. He said, "You should become a demon." So when he was in Satyuga, then he appeared in Dwapar Yuga as his demon, Vyoma. These demons in Krishna Lila, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Krishna Samhita and also in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He says that these demons, they represent obstacles, impediments or obstacles to the practice of Braja Bhajan. In other words, they're impediments to developing pure love for Krishna. And these have to be removed or destroyed from our hearts before we can actually attain pure love of God. What is the obstacle to pure bhakti that is represented by this Vyoma demon? He says a couple of different points. He says that Vyoma represents stealing others' property and telling lies. These create disturbances in Vrindavan in the form of Vyom. The killing of Vyomasura represents the leaving or rejecting or renouncing the association of deceitful devotees and thieves. So how does it work? It works like this. We may find ourselves in the association of different devotees. Some godbrothers, say the men, they have some godbrothers, and some they're not very good association. In fact, they're bad association. But we have some attachment to them, and we're not able actually to leave them. But we know that their association is not very good for me, because they're not very straightforward. They're like deceitful, cheating type. So, but we don't have the power to reject or leave those devotees. So when we read this chapter from Krishna book about the Vyomasura, killing the Vyomasura demon, then we pray to Krishna that you destroy this Vyomasura demon, the sky demon who's creating disturbance in the sky, and he's also stealing. He was stealing your coward boys. So I'm associating with these not good devotees, let's say bad devotees. They're stealing my sheep. They're stealing my sheep in the terms of my bhakti. They're stealing my bhakti, and they're creating a whirlwind. They're creating a lot of air, vyom, or sky. They're creating a lot of whirlwind in my mind, disturbing and agitating my mind, and preventing me from fixing my mind on you, my dear Lord Krishna, and on the performance of pure devotional service. So I'm reading this Bhagavatam, you're destroying this Vyoma, so please destroy my association with them. But I mean, somehow arrange for me to break off my association. And sometimes it happens that there's some devotee that you really don't want to associate with, and you're trying to think of different ways to avoid them or stay away from them. And then all of a sudden they say, "Oh, guess what? Guru Maharaj has transferred me to South Africa." "Oh, that's too bad. That's really too bad." Bye. And then they go to another country. So these things happen. So this is the practical implementation of this idea. So this is Vyoma's cave. And then right near there, there was a place we went to. We went to Charan Pahari, that the footprints of Krishna up on the top of the mountain. And there, when we were on the top, we could see under the trees or over the trees or from the side, you could see in the fields, there was some line of trees. All you could make out was some line of green, some trees. And behind those trees, in a lower area, there's a small kund. Now, that place, that Lila Stali, is called Lukaluki Kund, which means hide and seek. It's Hindi, some kind of Hindi, I guess. Luku Luki. It sounds like look, look and looky. Sometimes we heard the other day that Krishna was playing hide and seek with the gopis, and sometimes he would play with the coward boys. In this particular place, Luku Luki Kund, Krishna was playing hide and seek with the gopis. So the other day when we heard about that pastime, then Radharani and Krishna were playing hide and seek. Radharani quickly found Krishna. But in this pastime, the tables get turned. So Krishna was playing nearby with the coward boys, so he left all of them, and he came here to play hide and seek. And gopis closed their eyes and counted to 100. Krishna ran up this mountain where his footprint is, on the side of the mountain, he went inside a cave there, and he was hiding there. And the gopis, when they open their eyes after counting to 100, they're looking for Krishna. They couldn't find him anywhere, and they became very disturbed, very distressed. Oh, Kanhaiya, where's our Kanhaiya? Where's our Krishna? And they're looking this way and that way, and they couldn't find his hiding place anywhere. So what Krishna did, he could see that they couldn't find him. So then they were very distressed, and all the gopis just sat down there crying, oh, we lost Krishna. He must have gone back to the coward boys. The game is over. There's no more fun. And they gave up looking. So Krishna very quietly came out of the cave, and he went up to the top of the mountain where we saw him, where we saw the footprints. And he's standing there like, I think it was like this actually. It wasn't crossed. One, it was like 2 feet were just like this. You saw? His 2 feet on that rock, there was 2 feet, his left foot and his right foot, just like this. Just like if you're standing like this, right? It wasn't like this. Yeah, it wasn't Tribhanga, because Tribhanga is like this. So he was just standing like this, because he was standing and then going like this and looking down. He was just standing from the top of the hill and looking down. And then in that position, Krishna started playing his bansuri. He started playing his flute. Very beautiful melody. And all the gopis were downcast, feeling separation. Feeling separation from Krishna. And then when Krishna was playing his flute, as the gopis heard the sound of Krishna's flute, it was almost like they were in a hypnotic trance. In separation from Krishna, all the gopis were like hypnotized and mesmerized in a trance. Then when they heard the flute of Krishna, the flute sound of Krishna came like, it was like a snake charmer. Then the snake goes like this and starts. So the gopis, when they heard the flute, they came out of their stupor. They started looking. Oh, he's still here somewhere. He's here. Where? And they're looking for him. And then Krishna's playing his flute on top of that mountain where we saw his footprints, Charan Pahari. So the gopis, they're half in external consciousness and half in internal consciousness. As they're coming out of their trance of separation. So they're hearing the flute and they're gradually realizing, oh, yes, the flute, Krishna, Bansidhari. Where? Then they start looking, they're following that sound with their eyes. Their ears are hearing the sound of Krishna's flute and they're searching. Where? Where is that sound coming from? Just like sometimes you hear someone playing the flute. And it's very attractive, usually, to devotees. We like the flute. So we hear, where is that coming from? Is that a tape? No, it's not a tape. I remember sometimes at Radhakund, when we were staying at Radhakund, Gopal Mandir on the roof, early in the morning, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear this flute sound. And of course, I wish it was, maybe it was Krishna, who knows? Obviously not. But anyway, I would hear this flute sound, and I was captivated. Where is it coming from? And I would go out of my kutir and look around. It was some fog. It was like winter time. There was some fog over the Radhakund. And hear this, ooh. I felt like, I could imagine slightly what the gopis must have felt like, because when I heard that sound, it was so attractive. I wanted to run to that sound. My heart was saying, run to that sound, fight. Who is that person playing? Some baba, some devotee, who is it playing? But it was cold and I was way up on the roof and, you know, I'm not a gopi. And I was tired. So went back to bed. So You can imagine when Krishna plays his flute and he's calling your name. He's calling Alitasakhi's name. Specifically, your name, your song, your raga, your melody. Then how much you're compelled, how much you're drawn and forcefully pulled out of whatever situation you're in and immediately come to Krishna's side. So when the gopis heard Krishna's flute, then they were searching. And finally, hey, look, he's there. Hey, come on, let's go. And they all ran up the hill and they met Krishna there at that place, Charan Bihari. Charan Bihari Krishna Ki. So this place, Charan Bihari, is so wonderful and such a special place that when we are walking up the steps of this Pahari, this mountain, we can remember that actually Madhavendra Puri walked up these steps. Advaita Acharya walked up these steps. Lord Nityananda walked up these steps. Vallabhacharya walked up these steps. Lord Chaitanya walked up these steps. And Madhvacharya walked up these steps. And all the six Goswamis walked up those steps. Why? They walked up the steps to have darshan of Krishna's charan, of Krishna's lotus feet. So that's called Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta. We are walking, following in the footsteps of the great Mahajans and the Lord himself. Krishna and Balaram, Nittai and Gaur, they went up the top of that hill and they bent down at those feet and they put their head at those feet. And we did the same thing. It was a very astounding and a remarkable meditation to think about. In Lukaluki Kund, this lake, this water, sometimes the gopis and Krishna, they would play this game, a contest, by counting. They would all count to 10, and then the gopis and Krishna would both dive under the water. And then whoever came up last would win the contest. So they would say, 1, Krishna would dive under, and try to stay. The contest was to see who could stay under the water the longest. So then Krishna was challenging the gopis. So then they would, 1, at the count of 3, all the gopis will dive. And all the prabhus will dive under the water, right? So then, Krishna would dive and the gopis, so 1, 2, 3. Then they would go down. So Krishna would dive. So the gopis would go like this, and go like this, like they're diving, and then they would stand there. And Krishna dives under the water. And he's under the water, and he's trying to stay under as long as he can and hold his breath. So then, just before Krishna would surface from under the water, he was just about to come up, then the gopis said, come on! And the gopis would all dive under water. Krishna's coming up, and the gopis go, shh. Then Krishna would come up and say, oh, Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, they're all still under the water. I was under the water for 3 minutes, and they're still under there. How is this possible? So they kept playing, having this contest. Krishna and the gopis repeatedly engaged in this contest of staying under the water. And every single time, Krishna lost. So then he thought, maybe we should play a different game. So afterwards, he suggested that they play hide and seek in the Lukaluki. And of course, that game he won. So these type of games are characteristic activities at the time of Pogonda Leela. From the age of 5 years old, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is the innocent time of life, happy time of life. But after you're 12 years old, then you might as well start again. Go back to the beginning. That's when all the fun stops. After 12 years old, then it's hard life. So this Bimala Kund, of course, that's in Kamyavan, and the Pandavas were staying there. The Panch Pandavas and Draupadi were staying when they were in exile. They also stayed some time in Brajmandal, specifically in Kamyavan. Duryodhana was living in Indraprastha, which is nearby Merat. It's in Merat, about 50 miles from Delhi, but that general area of Delhi, Duryodhana was living there. As you know, Duryodhan was an arch enemy of the Pandavas and trying in so many ways to embarrass them and to defame them and ultimately to eliminate them. Duryodhana and so many others, they knew that Draupadi Mata, she had a benediction. She had a special kumbha, special pot. It was called Akshaya Patra. Akshaya means imperishable. Akshaya means it goes on and on and on, life after life. So she had this kumbha, this pot, let's say cooking pot, and if she had any guests, she would cook some rice in that pot. Then she would serve that rice from the pot. And until she herself had eaten from that pot, she could feed unlimited people from one pot. So Duryodhan, he suggested to Durvasa Muni, who was, of course, living in Brajmandal, moving here and there, and his 60,000 disciples, he had quite a large following, he said, why don't you go to Kamyavan and pay a surprise visit to the Pandavas and Draupadi? You should arrive there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Draupadi has fed her 5 husbands, right, Yudhisthira, Bhima, etc., Arjuna, Nakul, Sahadeva. She has fed her husbands, she is taking their remnants, she has washed the pot, everything is finished. It's a very good time. You should go visit there and beg for some food. So Durvasa said, yes, I've heard Draupadi is a very good cook and the Pandavas are great devotees. I would like to visit them. Yes, it's a good idea, Duryodhan. I will go there. So then Durvasa came to Bhimala Kund. Now, with 60,000 disciples, because Draupadi, they were staying at Bhimala Kund in one forest next to Bhimala Kund. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he received Durvasa Muni with great respect and great honor and so many words of praise and respect and proper asana and some water and all these things. And he said, listen, Muni Maharaj, Durvasa Muni, why don't you and your disciples take bath here in Bhimala Kund? And you finish bathing and become fresh, and then my wife will prepare food for everyone. Yudhisthira met with his wife Draupadi and said, please, Devi, prepare prasadam for Durvasa and his disciples. Oh, Prabhu, I'm very, very sorry. I have taken your remnants, and I've washed the pot, and I can't serve anyone from the pot until I and now it's too late. In a few minutes they'll be ready to eat. They'll come here to eat. What to do? It'd be such an embarrassing thing. And everyone knows that Durvasa Muni is a Krodhi Muni. He's a very angry. He gets just small thing. Ha! He gets very angry. So then Draupadi, as you could imagine, and she was in great distress, and she raised her hands above her head, and she said, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hey Bhagavan! Hey Bhagavan! Save me! Save me! So immediately Chakradhara Krishna, he came there from Hastinapur. He said, oh Draupadi, oh Krishna. Because Draupadi's other name was Krishna, because she's such a wonderful devoted lady, a servant of the Lord. So she's Krishna. Oh Krishna, How may I serve you? What is your difficulty? Oh Prabhu, you see, I've already eaten, and I can't feed all these guests that are about to arrive here in 1 minute. Oh, quick, bring me the pot. Bring. Is there just no, Prabhu, I've washed the pot. There's nothing there. No, please, bring. So then Draupadi brings the pot, the rice pot, the cooking pot, and gives it to Krishna. Krishna found one tiny morsel of rice. It was inside, upside down. And he took that, and when he ate that, then meanwhile, at Bhimala Kund, all of the disciples of Durvasa Muni and Durvasa Rishi himself, they felt completely bloated, completely full to the max. I mean, you know, a Kantapuran. Vaishnav Savadan. So then now Durvasa Muni, it became on his side now. Now Durvasa Muni, he became He became worried. Oh, this is very bad. We've told Draupadi he's going to cook for all of us, and now we're all full. We can't eat another bite. We're completely full. We're stuffed. And then Yudhisthira said, Bhim, go call Durvasa for prasad. So Bhima puts his club over his shoulder. Tong. And he comes out, boom. And Durvasa hears the ground shaking. Boom, boom. Durvasa! Durvasa! Shishila, Gayo! Bring your devotees. Take prasad. Prasad khao. So now, Durvasa's secretary, his personal secretary, he said, Maharaj, Bhima's coming here, and if we say that we're full and we can't eat anything, he has that big club, and he gets angry also. You get angry, but you don't have a club. And Bhima gets angry. He may smash us. He may make chutney out of all your disciples. So let's get that out of here. That's exactly what they did. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki, Vrindavan Vihari Lal ki, Radharani ki, Viraj Dharan ki, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. So we'd like to introduce this group of unlikely characters here. And they're pretending to be actors. That itself is a good act. And they have their profession. If you want to hire their professional acting team, you can bring them to Russia. It's 3 rupees per day. And this amazing acting troupe, which is you won't find anywhere in the universe. They're called the Radha Kund Players. Prabhupada had a group of disciples that were actors, and they were called the Vaikuntha Players. So we don't want to. It's called Vaikuntha Players, but these are the Radha Kund Players. Radha Kund Players ki, Shiva Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.